All right, we're going to get started here. And I told these guys, I'm going to talk a little bit about Jerry Lewis's passing before we get going, okay? Mm. All right? Is that good with everyone?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Scruffy, you need a haircut? Got an idea for you. Go to MaryToddHairCo.com, find yourself an appointment, and get yourself a haircut. They also have hot lather shaves and some of the best colorists in the city. Don't believe me? Pick up your iPhone and go, hey, Siri, where can I get the best men's or women's haircut in Atlanta? Guess what? It's going to pop up Mary Todd Hair Co. Also, Mary Todd has a custom line of shampoo, pomades, beard oils, all handmade using the finest ingredients available. Did I say they're produced locally? Well, they are. Check them out at MaryToddHairCo.com/products.
Two Faces Radio.
One of the programs which you hear daily on many of these mutual stations begins like this.
So that's it, the last solar eclipse to be seen on this continent in this century. And as I said, not until August 21st, 2017, will another eclipse be visible from North America. And ABC News, of course, will bring you a complete report on that next eclipse 38 years from now.
A solar eclipse. The cosmic ballet goes on.
Does anyone want to switch seats?
Have you ever seen an eclipse?
Yeah, I've seen many, yes.
You know, if you stare at it head on, it'll burn your eyes out.
Well, it's not best to stare at it, the sun during an eclipse, you know.
But it's hard not to. I once took a pair of binoculars and stared at the sun for over an hour.
Ooh, rock me, Jerry Lewis. Ooh, rock me, Jerry Lewis.
My only guest tonight is one of the most successful men in, I guess, in the history of show business. He's a comedian, a singer, a conductor, a nightclub performer, a television star. He's been called the total filmmaker and a comic genius, and he has inexhaustible energy. He's an extraordinary man, Mr. Jerry Lewis. Lewis!
Babe. Babe.
Babe.
Woes.
Woes.
Ent.
Ent.
All.
All.
Babe, woes and tall.
Ben Painfenton.
No.
Bert Thomas.
Audrey, this is Jerry Langford. Get Bert Thomas on the phone, and quickly.
Martino, I know it's you, and I'm much too busy for fun and games today. Goodbye.
Did you hear what I said? This is Jerry Langford. Now get Bert Thomas, and I'm not kidding. It's not a gag. It's serious. Now move it.
We opened at the Copa, and they wrote a full-page review about Jerry Lewis. I don't know that they mentioned Dean other than he sang a few songs. And he took that kind of treatment for 10 years.
You know, it seems like we haven't seen each other for 20 years.
Yeah. Well, you know, there was all those rumors about our breaking up, and then when I started the show and you weren't here, I believed it.
I'll show you guys to your room if you like. The lights are out upstairs, so follow me.
Well, he drinks a lot, this kid.
If you don't follow your instinct and you follow the words of those on the perimeter, you'll wind up being what they are, and you'll be what they think, and you're not your own man. Nothing's worth that.
That pool of black magic has me in its spell.
I don't want to be something that I'm not. I didn't like being someone else. At the same time, I'm very glad I was, because I found out something that I never knew. Might as well like yourself. Just think about all the time you're going to have to spend with you.
You'll never walk alone.
Good night, everybody, and thank you from the bottom of my heart. You're wonderful. Good night. God bless you.
It's time for Radio Labyrinth. Ira Malkin, Steph Swain, and Jeff Leboff.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth, episode 93. My name is Tim. There's Jeff. There's Steph. We have some guests in with us tonight. We'll get to those guys in a second. But first, oh, man, rest in peace, Jerry Lewis. Jerry Lewis is dead at the age of 91, right, Jeff?
Hey, nice lady.
Hey, nice lady. Jeff and I used to collect money every year for the MDA telethon. We'd go door to door. We'd stand in front of a grocery store and collect money from people. Even the old man who said Jerry Lewis was a scam artist even gave us a buck, I think, because he felt bad for us. We would get about anywhere between 500 and 1,000. Jeff's parents would throw money in. My mom would give me 10 bucks. Here you go. And then we would go up to Elmira, New York, and answer phones and volunteer for the MDA, WENY, which was the ABC affiliate. So this was our Labor Day every weekend, pretty much until we graduated from high school and were told we weren't allowed to come back.
Yeah, I think we were still in high school when we got unceremoniously asked not to return to the telethon.
What did you do? They got you ejected from a muscular dystrophy telethon.
Before we get to that, our guests tonight are comedian and actor Joe Pettis and comedian and actor Josh Warren.
Yay, welcome guys.
How you guys doing?
Say hi. You can say hi.
Hello.
So what we did, what did we do to get unceremoniously disinvited from?
Well, we would fuck around, whenever the camera was on, and there would be in the tuxedo standing in front of us talking about, serious muscular dystrophy shit.
Like that, they had that one kid that was there every year.
Yeah, well, every telethon had, a local Jerry's kid.
Yeah.
Is there light muscular dystrophy shit? I mean, isn't it all serious?
Yeah, it's pretty serious. This kid was fucked up.
But, I mean, they're talking about, what the money's going to go for and donate, please, and people are crying.
Who was that guy with the wig? What was his name? Hal?
Hal Trosia.
Yeah, Hal Trosia. It was the guy with the wig. There was a guy that owned WENY. That was the bald guy. I don't remember his name. And then there was Steve Christie, who was the local weatherman of WNY. WNY, I got a low front coming in. Let me move this felt L. And what you, Jeff, I was telling these guys outside that you would prank the people in the front row of the phone bank.
We would make faces, first of all.
Yeah.
We're in the back answering the phones, and usually the focus is not on the people in the back answering the phones, and it's kind of like... everything that's important is going on in the front, but when there's important shit going on in the front and then behind the important shit, there's people reaching over so their face could be seen so they could make a stupid face.
Which we would do.
To the camera.
You had muscular dystrophy?
That tends to get noticed. Yeah, probably.
There's a face we invented in fifth grade called the R face. Yeah. It was just making fun of a... Well, I'm not going to tell you the origins. It's terrible.
Just a stupid face.
Yeah.
And then we would prank, there was 10 phones or whatever. So if the first phone rings, then the second phone is the next line. So you could tell, who was going to get the next call.
Uh-huh.
So you would wait till the person that you wanted to talk to, it was their turn. And then you would just call the number and then pick up the phone and prank them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's and great. He got me once, and I was pissed. I said, "You fucker!" But you had a guy that Jeff had made up, and his name was an Indian fellow whose name was Gumuch Famuta. And those were what, acronyms?
Yeah, it was something that our high school friends had made up for
get me up the shitter, fuck me up the ass, Gumuch Famuta.
Yeah, Gumuch Famuta.
And then one year, I called I found out the line for the number in Las Vegas, where the Jerry Lewis hosted it, and they actually had celebrities answering the phone, and that little girl, Heather O'Rourke.
This is the worst thing you've ever done.
From Poltergeist, answered the phone.
The little girl that died from being impacted.
No one knew she was going to die from pneumonia.
Tim killed her with his prank phone call.
No, I called and called and called and called. I finally got a celebrity on the phone, and I said, "Hey, can I talk to Gary Coleman?" Because he was sitting next to her, and she goes, "I don't think we're allowed to do that." And I said, "Can't you just put him on the phone for a second? I just want to say hi to Gary Coleman." And she wouldn't do it. Fucking 8-year-old whore. So I got her, I donated $5 just because I felt bad.
Did you and Jeff actually ever collect any money?
We always collected close to $1,000 most of the time.
Oh, well.
But they had donuts and they had a soda machine at the TV station. So I just ate donuts all night.
And they would get pudgy sheet pizzas.
Yeah.
And you'd just eat pizza.
I hear about this Pudgy's pizza from you guys.
It's the best worst pizza in the world.
It's the best worst pizza ever.
So that one time, and then we both moved to Atlanta. They were doing the PBS telethon, and we would call and then see the person in the phone bank pick the phone up, and I go, "Yeah, I'd like to donate a box of cat poop." I think we did that about 15 times. Yeah. And then we tried it in our hometown. The guy threatened us.
Yeah. They, well, in the interim, they had invented Star 69.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we kind of got busted.
Well, I mean, if you don't know who Jerry Lewis is, obviously most of you listening to this, 99.9% of you know who Jerry Lewis is. One of the greatest comedic actors of the 20th century, for sure. Pretty much created the comedy movie genre. Adam Sandler, any Adam Sandler film that you've seen just takes that formula to the Adam Sandler level. But all those films are Jerry Lewis. I mean, he invented the sets. He invented the props and all the comedy that were inside of his films. He got started in vaudeville with his dad and mom. And this is a very short synopsis. And he did the short time with Dean Martin, where he really, you know, outshined Dean Martin. And when they split up, it was good for both of them. So rest in peace, Jerry Lewis. Also rest in peace, Dick Gregory, who is also a legendary African-American comedian, civil rights era icon, and most recently a conspiracy theorist on YouTube. If you've watched any of his videos from the last 5-6 years, he just yells at the people interviewing him and talks about how they killed Michael Jackson, they killed Tupac, and they killed Prince.
Who's they?
He might not be wrong.
No, yeah, he might not be.
Hollywood Star Whackers?
Yes, the Hollywood Star Whackers.
What's his name?
Randy Quaid.
Yeah, Randy Quaid claims that they are after him and are destroying his career.
That's right. And that's why he fled and made that video of himself fucking his wife they're both wearing Rupert Murdoch masks. You ever see that video? He makes his wife wear a Rupert Murdoch mask, and he's fucking her from behind. And there's no nudity, so you can watch it on YouTube.
That's okay.
We also lost the legendary, allegedly Native American actor, Sonny Landham.
It's true.
Billy.
Yep.
What?
Billy Bear.
Oh, Billy Bear, yeah. But he's also known as?
That ain't no man, Major.
From Predator. You got to hear this.
Billy. That ain't no man, Major.
Billy, do the whole thing.
You're not afraid of anything, Billy.
That ain't no man, Major.
All
right. Do you think Scott's Billy's so upset right now?
We were watching that scene. Anyway, that's Josh Warren. Josh Warren is a very talented and funny guy. He is from right here in the Atlanta area. Joe Pettis as well is a funny guy. He is also from the Atlanta area. And both of them are doing a show. And the show is called The Roast of Daenerys Targaryen. Okay, so Daenerys is from Game of Thrones.
Right.
Yes.
She's Khaleesi, or the king, the queen of the Unsullied and all that garbage.
She's got seven.
Huh?
Mother of Dragons.
Mother of Dragons, that's correct. Let's see what it says here. She's Daenerys Stormborn of House Targaryen, rightful heir to the Iron Throne, queen of the Seven Kingdoms of Westeros, the Rhoynar, and the First Men. She's the mother of dragons, the Khaleesi of the Great Grass Sea, the Unburnt, the Breaker of Chains, and on Saturday, September 2nd, she will be roasted, featuring Atlanta's best comics portraying some of our favorite and most despised characters from Game of Thrones. Saturday, September 2nd at the Highland Inn Ballroom. Doors are at 8, show is at 9, tickets are $7 in advance or $10 at the door. Special discount for those attending DragonCon. Show up with your badge at the door, and you will only have to pay $5 to get in. Now, the Highland Inn Ballroom is at 644 North Highland Avenue, Northeast Atlanta, 30306. And that's in case you're putting it in your GPS. So, guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. So, how did you come up with this idea to do a roast of Daenerys Targaryen? Get right on that mic. Remember, it's a dick.
We've been doing these roasts for a couple years now, just popular culture, like pop culture characters or icons.
Mm-hmm.
This year alone, we've done like Disney, Spider-Man, Lady Gaga. Mm-hmm. And then we actually did, this is our second Game of Thrones one. We did a roast of Jon Snow last year at the end of season 6. Now with the mid-season of season 7, that would be like a good time to just bring back the Game of Thrones and roast one of our favorite characters. And then Josh here just does such a fun portrayal of Daenerys that...
Yeah, let's hear that, Josh.
Not only am I the Breaker of Chains and the Mother of Dragons, I'm also the Mother of the Deal.
Yes.
Once I do get to take the Iron Throne, I have been promising multiple Targaryen casinos and resorts in Dorne. The golf courses are lovely there.
Are you going to be building a wall to keep the Dothraki out?
They built the wall already.
Well, I mean, we're going to build a bigger wall.
Yeah, a better wall.
A more magical wall. It's going to be the best wall.
Uh-huh.
And this one, though, the whites are going to pay for that wall. Even though, like, even the whites, there's some good people on their side.
Is this the fire whites or the ice whites?
Either... I mean, I'm akin to the Fire Whites. I enjoy the Fire Whites. Some think that Jon Snow is. And we're going to bang like Targaryens.
So you're trying to make the Seven Kingdoms great again?
Not trying. We're going to.
So what other comedians will be involved? And so you sit as the guest of honor, as Daenerys Trumpgarian.
If you go to at Danny2016 on Facebook or Danny2016 on Funny or Die, you can find the entire web series that I put together.
Oh, I want to check that out. Now you were telling me before everybody got here that you do a lot of stuff. You were in some movies shot here, right? You were in Footloose and Trouble with the Curve.
Right.
Did you have speaking roles in those movies?
Yeah. Yeah. I was the one of the bullies in Footloose.
Yeah. You don't dance? What are you, some sort of fag?
Yeah, and then be like, here, take this joint, dude. Catch your mask. Yeah. I was the drug dealer.
They're a lot of stoners.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'm typecast as a stoner for some reason.
And how about Trouble with the Curve? Same thing?
I was a baseball player.
You were?
I was a high school baseball player at the ripe old age of like 27.
Yeah.
And... it may have even been older than that. Shit.
Did you get to hang out with, who's in that? Burt Reynolds. No, not Burt Reynolds.
Clint
Jesus
Eastwood.
Christ. Clint Eastwood and Amy Adams, right?
Yeah, I met both of them. I had more of a conversation with Clint Eastwood. It was like a Mean Joe Green moment.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine.
I was like walking up to the craft service like thing, and I look in there, and it's like 6 o'clock in the morning, and they're handing like a plate of steamed vegetables. And I'm like, who eats steamed vegetables at 6 a.m.?
Yeah.
I look up there, and there's just this huge vein. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's Clint Eastwood. He came out and was like, you're looking good, kid. You getting breakfast? I guess that's kind of a retarded question. And I was like, do I laugh at Clint Eastwood?
Yeah.
Retarded?
You really shouldn't say that, man. And, sorry.
And then, like, he went to walk off, and I was like, Mr. Eastwood! And he turns, and I was like, I just want you to know, like, in my mind, I was like, say 2 mules for Sister Sarah.
Yeah.
But instead, I was like, Dirty Harry was the greatest film ever made. He was just like, I'm like, slowly walks away.
I did that too when I met Jane Fonda. I tried to think of the most obscure film ever. I didn't want to say On Golden Pond.
Right, right.
I didn't want to say Barbarella because then she'd think I'm jerking off to her. So I said, they shoot horses, don't they? And she went, yeah, that was a fun movie. So you've also done some voice work in town. Aqua Teen Hunger Force, one of our favorite shows.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not on anymore. I don't know why. God damn it.
I'm not at liberty to say.
No, but you. What character did you play in Aqua Teen?
I played the Wabusabi, so it was like this alien creature from another planet that they used his skin and testicles to make things like bongo drums and hacky sacks.
Yeah.
So whenever Shake, like, played the bongo drums, like, it would summon my spirit very painfully. And I'd come like, just like, yeah, give me back my skin.
Was that a later season or earlier?
Yeah,
season?
It was probably
like Aqua TV show. Or,
yeah. It was when they broke it up into the 4 different shows.
And you also have been on Your Pretty Face.
Yeah, Your Pretty Face is going to hell. Schmeckler 83 was the name of the episode.
Schmeckler 83. Jeff, you're the expert.
I don't know the names of the episodes.
Yeah, what
I've
was the plot? Because we watch them all.
So I was playing a new role, which is a college stoner. and we get Gary's summoning word from, my roommate picks it up off the ground because he left it.
Oh, I remember this one.
Yeah.
A music festival. And then he keeps saying Schmeckler 83, which is a summoning word.
Yeah.
And so, like, we're making Gary, like, go buy us beer and do our homework and stuff like that. And then we smoke this, like, righteous pot from hell. But still, we'd, like, fuck around by the way we'd sign our souls off so we don't lose our souls. Uh-huh. And they keep that. Casper Kelly keeps being like, dude, we got to get you back on the show. And I'm like, I know, just write it. Just write me back on, please.
We need to get on that show.
I know.
We could have been extras that day, but it was just would have been an all-day thing.
Yeah.
They invited us over one day to check out the set. Pretty cool set over there.
Yeah, that's what to say. Like, when you were shooting it, though, I mean, just doing that with Henry Zebrowski, I mean, are you not, like, cracking up the whole time, pretty much?
Oh, yeah. Henry was a lot of fun to work with. He's really spontaneous and just, like, a bunch of energy. So we got to do a lot of improvised moments and riff with each other and stuff like that.
Now, that's awesome.
Now, how long have you been doing this, Josh? Because you grew up right here in Atlanta. How did you get into doing voice work and acting?
I mean, honestly, like, my mom was a dance teacher in Gwinnett County.
Mm-hmm.
So I would come and do, like different, like, sketches and stuff like that during the intermissions at the Gwinnett County Civic Center.
Mm-hmm.
And then once, like, my friends, like, were like, I'm on scholarship to go wrestle for Air Force. And, once all my friends left, I was like, what? Like, I went and moved in with my brother in Buford for, like, a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't want to do this.
So Buford, Georgia?
Yeah.
That must have been exciting.
Yeah, it was. It was actually like five or six months. But then I was like, I'm moving to New York. And when I did, my first day in New York was 9/11.
Oh, so, wow.
What year?
2009.
You're stupid. Wow.
So I got to experience the anthrax scare, all that wonderful stuff that was going on in New York.
That when Scotty Ian was running around,
yeah,
picking fights with people. Sorry, man, I hate to be a douche. Just get on the mic.
Oh,
I know it's a big.
Oh, sorry about that.
Big penis,
but yeah,
doesn't bother Steph.
So I did stuff with the Upright Citizens Brigade.
Oh yeah,
and. Met a good friend of mine, Dan Fogler, up there, and then he and I started, like, creating, like, pitch content and stuff like that. And we did a show called Malarkey for Comedy Central about the same time that Footloose came out, so around, like, 2011.
Is that a pilot?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it obviously didn't go anywhere. It was ahead of its time.
Yeah.
then I came back down here and started doing stuff with Whole World Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, me and some other guys, about 13 of us, left Whole World and went and created the Village Theater, which is where I do improv now. I'm the associate artistic director.
And you do every week?
We do shows Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 8:30, mm-hmm. and then on Sundays. And then we're about to start a sketch comedy review show. Which is directed by Ryan Archibald, who's from Second City and mm-hmm. Improv Olympic in Chicago.
So that when I moved to Atlanta, I came here in 96, everybody was saying, gotta go to Whole World, and it was always sold out. It wasn't until a little bit later I heard about Dad's Garage, and then those two were kind of the big ones for a long time. Now there's how many? Three or four?
I mean, now it's like the five families of the mafia.
Is it? Yeah.
It's like you got Whole World, Dad's, Village, High Wire, Basement.
Are people interchangeable with the different groups, or do they kind of stick to their own?
I mean, we've been trying to make an open community for, like, a really long time. So lately, we've been having, like, John Carr from Dad's Garage will come out and do a show with us, or like right now we're doing the Atlanta Improv League, which is hosted between the Village and High Wire.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's about 15 teams that every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday are competing for the grand total of $2,500.
That's good money.
Mm-hmm. And we're about 8 weeks into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so me and one of my buddies have been, like, hosting all those, Ian Covell over at High Wire. And then we've created a fake sports network.
Uh-huh. What's it called?
ASPN.
Uh-huh.
Which is on our Facebook page at Action Show One. But it's it's just me and my two-man show partner, Syl Turner, and we just pretend like we're ESPN sports analysis.
And you,
like,
you improv over, the whole thing?
Yeah, and we talk about improv.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, you know, if they would have gone down with that other play, maybe the joke would have landed a little bit harder. So, you know, it's all a numbers game. It all depends on who you bring out to the show. And we go, like, way too long. It's like 2.5 hours long, usually.
That's usually the most fun, though.
Yeah, we just get hammered and pretend like we're sports.
Yeah. when you guys do improv at Village Theater, do you cuss?
Yeah. I mean, we've got a show called Improv Asshole on Saturday nights.
All right. Because I was always told when I took my improv classes that you're not supposed to swear or go blue, work blue or, you know, whatever. Yeah. But that's my go-to.
They're probably trying to rein you in because like you immediately go to... the worst possible thing you could
do. I don't immediately go there, but I get there quick.
I mean, it's like learn the rules to break the rules,
okay,
that type of stuff. And then, like, I'd say don't go too blue at the beginning of a show.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
You just want to earn it.
Yeah,
you know?
I see.
But, like, in real life, I'm like, fucking shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, so... I hope my parents aren't listening right now.
You guys get, like, the Village, you get a lot of big 1 a.m. shows there, too, don't you?
We used to. We used to do the 1 a.m. secret show over there.
Yeah, now it's at Smithsville Bar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's where that went to, Smithsville Bar. Do you still go over there?
I do, yeah.
Okay. We'll get to you in a minute.
Yeah. Just be hanging out over here.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe.
So how did you guys come up with this roasting of pop culture icons and stuff?
I actually stole it from other cities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a thing that was happening in places like Louisville, Kentucky, or Knoxville, Tennessee, or just Chicago. They do it at the Laugh Factory in Chicago.
Right.
And so, yeah, I just knew I had other friends in other cities who were doing it, who would talk about how much fun it was. So we just decided to kind of pick it up, steal the idea, and do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And it works just like a typical roast.
Yeah, a typical roast, but yeah, everyone on the show, it's nice because... you can go hard at each other, but you're playing a character, so there's no, like, real personal feelings that hurt.
Yeah.
Are they going to be roasting Daenerys, or are they going to be roasting Donald Trump?
It'll be Daenerys, but yeah, it'll be Daenerys. And then, so when we did the show last year, he opened up the show as Daenerys, and no one knew he was going to pull this whole Trump character. So
you come out in the outfit and the costume.
I'll get a picture.
Oh, please.
Yeah. But yeah, then we have all these other different Game of Thrones characters, and he's like, Daenerys will be the focal point, but then you just kind of roast everyone on the show.
Okay. All right. I get that. I think you didn't finish your question, and I walked all over you.
Sorry. I don't know. It's fine.
Jeff?
Yeah. I was just looking at his... Trash's IMDb page. I saw he was on that show Finding Carter.
Oh, yeah. I did do Finding Carter.
What's Finding Carter?
It was a show they shot here in Atlanta. It was on MTV for, like, I think two, maybe three seasons. I think it's canceled now.
What's it about?
It was about this girl that was, like, kidnapped as a baby and raised by, like, a totally different parent. So she was raised by this lady that kidnapped her.
Yeah.
And then later on, she finds out that her real family has been looking for her this whole time.
I remember that show. Yeah.
Did she still like the mom who kidnapped her, though, since she raised her?
Yeah. But the mom was a crook, or, you know, so she had to hide out. And it was pretty good for when it was on.
Yeah.
Did you play a stoner character on that show?
Stoner character kidnapped the kid.
I mean, with the backstory of the character they gave me, which was, like, waiter.
Yeah. So yes.
I probably was, yeah. And I think I got questioned by, like, this badass cop woman that was like, "Did you see these people?" And I was like, "Yeah. They went that way."
Like, one of those deals.
You were the classic Law and Order character.
Yeah, the character that leads them to the other guy.
The roast of Daenerys Targaryen. Takes place on Saturday, September 2nd at the Highland Inn Ballroom in Atlanta. You can get tickets by going to ticketalternative.com, and there's a whole great big thing after that. So I think you could probably just search the Daenerys.
You got to go to oneupcomedy.com.
Oneupcomedy.com. You didn't tell me that.
It's in.
I'm just fucking.
Get your nose together, guys.
Jesus. If you wear
very
your.
Very disorganized.
The number one, right?
Yeah, the number one.
Number one up comedy.
Yeah.
.com. All right. Go there.
If you wear your Dragon Con ID, you get half price off.
Beautiful.
That's one of the deals that I worked into this.
How did you come up with that deal, Mrs.? Is it Miss or Mrs.? I don't. No, you're not a Mrs. Well, you're still technically
I'm
a Miss.
I'm widowed.
You're widowed. I'm widowed. Yeah. The widow Targaryen. How do you? How'd you come up with that deal? How'd you work that with DragonCon or with the theater?
I had one of my advisors, Joe Pettis, work on it.
Scaramucci over here.
Yeah. Is he your, he's your hand.
Yeah, the hand of the king.
I get to play his child. I get to play Drogon the dragon.
Yeah, I'm really I am really upset right now. I'm in mourning.
Oh, yeah, for Viserys.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
I don't believe in spoiler alerts. You should have watched it.
I'm kind of down with that.
We're recording on Monday after the episode aired last night, so if you haven't watched it yet, go fuck yourself.
You know, people on Twitter last night, they didn't even wait 5 minutes, and it was, oh, I'm so sad that the dragon died. It's like, I'm glad I didn't.
I posted a picture of the dragon in the morning.
I know you did. Because you watched it 2 weeks ago.
I know, well, a week ago.
Now, you know, those hackers are threatening to release the next one.
And I can't wait.
I'm not going to watch
it. I'm not either. I want to watch it on my... my LGI 45-inch
so
widescreen.
To watch on Sunday. If I can get it done a week early, that's fine with me.
Oh, God.
You guys
are
keep
you
talking.
Three?
We
you
don't we don't pause. I got to piss.
Okay.
Have you tried to get on any other shit that's going on around here, like Walking Dead? Or
I did an episode of Walking Dead. But
hey, what's up, zombie?
Yeah, but I was a stoner in it, so my scene ended up being on the cutting room floor.
Wow, you got cut.
You're really like a zombie.
I got murdered by like two of the lead characters.
Oh, no shit.
And then they come in, and like I was just some like guy walking a zombie around on a leash.
Oh, you were one of those guys?
And we're like, yeah, well, I heard like it's like classic like henchman talk, like being like, oh yeah, well I heard that what's the guy with the bat?
Oh,
Negan. It's like I heard that Negan's really, you know, losing it these days. Don't talk about Negan like that or you're gonna end up dead. And then the third one's like, hey, did you hear something over there? Like, goes walking off, and then you hear, like...
So these are Sopranos characters, yeah. Basically? Okay.
Yeah, Well, I mean, that's...
You're fucking beating zombies over here.
We got all these zombies to beat up.
Wait, who am I missing?
Tony Soprano talking about being on Walking Dead.
Come.
Yeah, but we were just henchmen, and then it ended up on the cutting room floor. So good news is I can audition for Walking Dead again.
Oh, sweet.
Bad news is I haven't gotten any auditions for Walking Dead.
When we were doing at the beginning of the show, we were talking about the Who Died, Jerry Lewis and Dick Gregor, when we were talking about Sonny Landham, who, if you're not familiar with him, he was in Predator. He's the Indian-looking guy in Predator. He's
48
also,
Hours.
And 48 Hours is where I first saw him, as Billy Bear, who broke Gans out of jail. So, San Francisco, that's where that movie took place. Which one was dating Billy Bear? Was it Denise Crosby?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay. But you have a good story about working with him and what kind of guy he was. Can you tell that? He's dead now. He's not going to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple, but like, so...
So, first of all, you worked with him when and what was the project?
This was probably like 15 or so years ago, and... it was called Archon Sorrow, Plague of the Damned.
Was this a movie?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to Google it.
But, like, now that footage was repurposed by the director for his other movie called Disintegration, which I'm not in. But
okay.
I was behind the scenes a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Stars my friend Justin Ridgway, and Roger McLeod is the director. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
But, so, like... the director, Roger, goes to pick up Sonny and, like, knocks on the hotel door. Sonny opens the door, and he's like, come on in, just get in my coffee and get ready. Meanwhile, Roger's just, like, standing there, his jaws dropped, and Sonny Landham's wearing nothing but cowboy boots. And, like, he had already decided that he was going to start running for senator or Congress or governor or whatever.
He was running for Senate in Kentucky,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He should have run for governor. All the governors from Predator.
Well, he was like, well, you know, Arnold did it. And Jesse the Body, I figured, why the hell not? And then I met him, and, like, all I could think about was, like, him from Predator. Mm-hmm. With the, like, you're not afraid of any man. That ain't no old man made cuts himself. But like he was this like giant bulbous like jack dude, and then when I met him, he looked like a South Park cartoon character. Like he was like he was still bulbous and big, but like was just like round, and he had like tiny legs.
Really?
Yeah, it was like it was weird. It was like shocking, and like I was like, this is why they tell you not to meet your heroes. And then he was insane. like at one point in time, he was like, "I broke the toilet today," and like he went to go to the bathroom in this like antebellum house that we were shooting in. Sat down on this like toilet with like a pulley system, so it was like a really old timey toilet.
Right.
And it just like cracked and broke out.
Oh my God.
And then he was like, I broke the toilet. He told me that he was like, I got bit by a scorpion when I was working on Predator. That movie was hell. We're just running around in the jungle shitting our pants. I couldn't believe that I survived the scorpion bite. And I was like, bite. Scorpion bite.
Yeah, it bit me.
Yeah, it's like it bit you with its tail.
Yeah, last Saturday I got bit by yellow jackets all over my hand and legs.
Well, so
yeah.
He said that he was like, yeah, when I was a kid, I got bit by like 1,000 yellow jackets when I was canoeing down a river. And he like ran into like a bee's nest, and they like all like swarmed him, and he was like, I didn't know what to do, so I flipped the canoe over and drowned all of them. Started pulling them out of my hair. And then he was like, so I started having flashbacks to that when I was in the jungle, and I figured I built up an immunity. The doctor on set told me not to eat any sugars or anything like that. And I was like, well, fuck that. I've never been able to eat those things in the first place. So I just started shuffing Twinkies and Ho-Hos out in my throat. And, yeah, that's what it was like hanging out with
Spider-Man.
It's
a normal day on set.
I just want to hang out with you all day, and you just do that voice. And describe shit and tell me stories about when you make up stories about when you're a child.
Well, when I was a child,
I remember a bear raped me in the woods.
He was in Poltergeist with your friend Heather O'Rourke.
Who would he play in Poltergeist?
He was just an extra or something, probably. It's pool worker number two.
They were like, what's going on with you, pool worker? What are you afraid of? You're not afraid of any man. That's no man.
It's a ghost. It's a clown that's going to choke me.
But it's Buffalo Bill.
Yes. Sure, you can use my phone. Was she a great big fat person? She was big. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think she moved on. Trying to think of that line he says to her. I know he says, and then he says, sure, you can use my phone. Does that sideways thing. And then he was on Monk.
He's a really strange guy.
Who, that actor, Ted Levine?
Well, just the character.
Oh, that character is the most bizarre character I think ever in a film. If you try to be like that, you can tell they're trying to be like that. That character is just so...
You're about a size 14.
All right.
Good. That actress, she's been around.
She was on Ray Donovan.
Yeah, she was fucking the... I can't remember his name.
The dude with the Parkinson's
guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Parkinson's
but you know,
guy. He has a name.
That movie, he's a fantastic actor.
I just forget his name on the show, Ray Donovan.
But she got what she deserved. I mean, you see some creepy guy with a cast. He's trying to put a couch in his van. The whole thing.
Yeah.
It reads.
Oh, yeah. Would you?
Yeah, come on.
Hey, would you come over?
Mister, do you need some help?
Oh, would you? Yeah, just get right in the back.
Your poor cat. Yeah. I always thought of the poor cat.
Hi, little cheaper.
It's like in Terminator 2 with like, how's Wolfie, Mom? Wolfie's doing just fine, sweetheart.
Yeah, the dog.
Your foster parents are dead.
Like, Wolfie's not doing fine.
Your foster parents are dead.
But what about Wolfie?
He's got a big spike through his head.
Wasn't he dead, the dog?
I think he killed everybody in the house, including the dog at that point, hadn't he?
Who was worried about the dog? The kid?
The kid.
Yeah. Yeah. They always pick, whenever they made...
What's the name of the dog?
Oh, there was no dog.
No.
That was the whole point.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
Max. Max was the kid's dog.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like, right.
How's Wolfie, Mom? Wolfie's doing just fine.
Yeah, he did the little furlong. Why didn't
they kill Daniel Cooksey? That would have been fun. Hey, Mr. D. You guys know who Daniel Cooksey is?
Was he in Terminator 2?
He's the redheaded
the
kid.
Redheaded kid.
Yeah. But he was on Different Strokes.
At the end.
He was toward the end. Yeah, they brought the ugly redheaded kid in. called Mr. Drum.
Ginger
Mr.
Madness.
D? Hey, Mr. D.
Him and what was his mom?
Dixie Carter.
Dixie Carter, yeah.
Who left the show for Designing Women, so they replaced her with another actress. And also, her ex-husband was played by Tom Poston. Remember him?
I do, yeah.
Is that it? No, not Tom Poston.
No, it was Hoyt.
Hoyt Axton. Yeah. You got a knife, I got a gun. Hoyt Axton wrote Jeremiah.
I know who Hoyt Axton is.
I don't know shit.
Jennifer's husband on WKRP and Cincinnati.
Right, but he wrote the song.
Dad Gremlins, yeah.
Joy to the World, he wrote that song.
Oh, I did not realize he wrote that song.
Hoyt Axton.
Yeah.
That's a good song.
It was.
Yeah.
Three Dog Night.
So is Brown, Leroy Brown, baddest
man in the whole damn town. How's the next line go?
Something about Slim.
Badder than Uptown's got its hustlers. Bowery got its bums. 42nd Street got Big Jim Walker. He a pool shooting son of a gun. They call him the king of 42nd Street. He's driving a drop top Cadillac. What are you looking at me
I
like?
Feel like I'm hanging out with my grandpa.
It's a good song.
And he's just kind of sliding off the rails. I'm like, come back, crap. Come on back.
I love Jim Croce. Jim Croce died in a plane crash, but he left a string of hits. Operator.
Time in a bottle.
Consider yourself lucky you weren't here when Tim did the entire Rhinestone Cowboy a couple weeks ago.
Riding out on a horse. So, Joe, you're doing some stuff. Why don't you tell us what you're doing?
I'm still here.
No, I wrote it down. Right now you're doing the second season of Daytime Fighting League on Adult Swim, which can be seen at 5 p.m. live on the Adult Swim website. You can also see on YouTube, and they also show it, what did you say, at 4 in the morning?
Yeah, I think 4 in the morning. Yeah, prime time.
I'm going to bed after is Vinny Bucci on that too?
Yeah,
Yeah.
So he was a competitor last season. This season he plays like the mentor figure. Before each match, we had to go have a talk with Vince Bucci.
Is he? No, he goes by Vince now.
Oh, sorry,
no,
he goes by the Booch on there. Right. Yeah, they call him the Booch on there. Yeah, right. I know him as Vince though. You know,
so
first name basically.
I know his mom, so I can call him Vince.
Mr. the Booch. Vince,
yeah.
Does he still wear the WWE medallion?
Yeah, of course.
Does he wear it on set? Is he allowed?
I don't know. I don't think he wore that, but he was definitely wearing, I think, like a gold chain.
Yeah,
we filmed it back in January, so. But yeah, he just, it was so surprising because like I just show up and then he's just hanging out. And I thought he was just hanging out just to be there, you know? But then, he ended up being our mentor.
What's it like being mentored by Vinny Bucci? What kind of life advice does he give you?
He would, the first episode, he gave us like financial advice, which had nothing to do with what we were about to do.
First of all, live at home.
Yeah, exactly. And then the best part is dub it all out with music.
Mm-hmm.
So the scenes where I'm with the Booch, you hear nothing, none of the stuff he told us.
This is the second season. What is Daytime Fighting League for people who don't know?
It's basically where they take a bunch of normal people and put them in like wrestling matches, but aren't necessarily wrestling matches. They just add weird gimmicks to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of my matches, I had to like find a pair of smelly underwear while blindfolded.
You had to find them?
Yeah. We had to like go through a bunch of through laundry and then find the one pair of dirty underwear.
Oh, so you have to use your nose.
I You don't see this because I found them immediately, and then won. But they said it was too quick, so they made us redo it, and they ended up losing.
Oh, that's not
fair.
Yeah,
so I got kind of screwed on it, yeah.
Oh, dude, that's some bullshit.
I know,
yeah.
That's some home cooking right there.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, that's you're kind of like an you're an expert with your, don't you do the comedy in underwear?
Yeah, I do my underwear comedy party at what I'm doing this Friday at the Village Theater. And, yeah, so, plus it was like, it was the underwear of this big sweaty wrestler dude, and so they were like wet too. So I had to do.
Oh, jeez!
But it made it easy to find. I just had to find the one pair of wet underwear. Yeah, yeah. So if you go to Adult Swim or whatever, you can watch me. And they made us smell him. Like we had to like before the match.
So you'd know.
So it's a great. He has a great shot of the just match. Me like on my knees smelling another man's crotch.
Digging through a pile of dirty clothes is a match.
Yeah,
that's what I want to know. What's it like though doing stand up in your underwear?
Oh, it's a blast, especially when we do it here because we get a lot of the audience. We offer free admission if they come in their underwear. So we get a bunch of college kids and just random people who come in their underwear. So
is that horrifying?
Yeah, it's probably more horrifying for the people who work at Village Theater.
Yeah.
Like, especially the person who works the door because they have to tell the people, like, hey, it's $10 or you can take your clothes off.
Because I wonder if it's like, you know, like nude beach rules. Because, like, there's never hot people on a nude beach, usually.
The cool thing is we're right down the street from Georgia State, so we do get, like, some young college type students. But then, like,
girls.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But generally, the comics on the show are not, like, like, I strategically try to book the show where I'm usually, like, the most athletic looking guy, you know?
Oh, because you're the booker?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. I try to make myself look good at all times.
Boxers or briefs?
It's weird. Because of the show, before the show, I was always just a regular boxer guy, and now I'm a boxer brief guy.
Mm-hmm. Those are the best.
Yeah, because I saw, for one thing, I saw photos of myself just wearing normal boxers. Mm-hmm. It was not appealing. And then, so I started wearing boxer briefs, and I'm actually a local underwear company, Foxers. They provide me with underwear for every show.
Oh, that's
very
cool.
Very nice, comfortable underwear. Yeah, so.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you're in your early 30s, and from what I understand, like, as you transition, you're going to need the boxer briefs.
Totally, yeah, yeah.
Because the balls.
I just hit 35, so yeah, I'm right there on the
cusp.
Don't
they start?
Well, the thing about boxers, and there's a comedian, I think it might be Louis C.K., who did this bit, but he was absolutely right, is when you wear boxers, you get that little ball of sweat right under your coccyx, or right at the
coccyx, your tailbone.
Yeah, right there. There's just this all-day-long ball of sweat, and it runs down in the crack of your ass all day. And if you wear briefs, you look like a freak. So the boxer brief is the best invention ever because it soaks up that ball of sweat and you're comfortable and you don't look like a freak.
Yeah.
But I would never be able to do that because I'm so small that I would be worried that people would be laughing
just
at me.
Wrap a cucumber in aluminum.
Yeah, no, but then you're lying. Well, you have a metal cock that's huge.
That's one of the reasons I do is because it's the easiest joke to go to. You
yes.
Know? I don't have to write quality material where I can just
they're just looking at that dick.
I literally I'll just be like, look, it's cold in here, you know?
Yeah, all right.
I was in the pool. I was in the pool.
Joe is I remember I saw you Limerick Junction like years ago and it was like a dead slow night and you just went up there and read the menu one night and fucking crushed.
I
was just reading the menu. And I mean, I was crying. That's how funny Joe is.
And you guys met when you were doing stand up.
Yeah, my brief stint. Yes.
You did it for quite a bit.
Nah.
A year almost.
I was namby pamby.
She was funny,
with it.
Wasn't she?
Yeah, yeah.
Is funny.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up. I dipped in and out. But anyway. But yeah.
I just assumed you had a real job. And so you're like.
Speaking of dipping in and out, did you see the meme that's been going around, unfortunately, of the solar eclipse? Somebody will send you a video on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah,
and then it's just this guy.
I made it onto AJC.
I know it did. Yeah. That's what I was getting at. The AJC put it on their Twitter feed, and it's just this guy's ball sack dangling down in front of it. I've had 3 different people send it to me today. So
somehow I've not got this yet. I don't know.
I've had it sent to me twice. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, send it to him. It's oh, wow. Big, hairy. One ball's bigger than the other, which is usually the case, but you're seeing it from behind.
Joe did a getting dug with high.
You did?
Yes, yeah, it's my current only IMDb credit.
Well, that's
until,
cool.
Until Daytime Fighting League updates this shit. Yeah, I was in L.A., and I do a lot of shows with Doug.
Mm-hmm.
I've done his podcast a bunch. But I was in L.A., and then I think just happened to be that ASAP Rocky was supposed to be on his show.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, because he couldn't do it, I got to fill in.
Oh.
That's great, though.
Yeah, it was amazing. That's probably like one of the most fun things I've ever done.
So you just sit there and get high with
basically,
him.
Basically, yeah, because I've done the podcast, which is a blast, but you're in front of a live audience and you're not getting high.
Yeah.
Whereas this is literally just getting high with Doug and another person or whoever else.
Is it still on YouTube?
Yeah, it's still
on
YouTube,
sure
yeah.
Is, yeah.
So what kind of good weed did he have?
Oh, man, there was so much. And there was like 20 different pipes and stuff. But they had, I forget the brand, but they had a spray.
A spray.
Yeah, yeah. It was like one of the sponsors. And I got to keep the spray. So like for like the week I was in L.A., I was just like every nice. 5 seconds, I was just like, shh, yeah.
Get out of here.
That's the thing I always didn't like about when Doug would do stuff like that. When he had that judge show where he the high court.
Show.
Yeah, it was a great show. But he would always like smoke weed, and he would never talk about like what kind of weed he was smoking. I was like, dude, just say what kind of weed you're smoking.
Well, he did that on Getting Doug with High.
Yeah, and that show, we'll talk about what kind. I don't remember what it was.
Dude, what era? What a wonderful era we're living in, where weed can actually sponsor something and go here, review our product.
Totally, yeah.
Except for this state. Well, I agree.
It's coming.
It should be outlawed.
It's coming.
It's terrible what it does to people. It makes them get jobs in TV and do funny shit.
Yeah, it helps.
Sometimes it just makes them really violent. I've seen Reefer Madness.
Yeah.
I can attest to all of what the Department of, what is it?
Huh?
Department of National Affairs or whatever. It's what we changed our propaganda wing into.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
instead of calling it propaganda, they're like, let's just call it like the Department of Public Relations.
Yes.
And then, you know, now we live in the society we do today.
Yes. Where you can go to Colorado, Oregon, California, or what's the other state? Florida. Florida's supposed to have recreation, but they haven't legaled it. They ain't made it legal yet. No, they haven't allowed anybody to open.
Right.
Yeah, you can do a lot of shit in Michigan,
Vegas,
too.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
I mean, what else are you going to do in Michigan?
Yeah, Nevada, they ran out of it. Mississippi is decriminalized. So.
Really?
Yeah, it's been that way for a while, too. It's very just unknown. But it's the only state in the Southeast where it's just decriminalized.
We thought it would be good for our colors to let them get all sorts of marijuana and not, you know, pollute the jails for the Mexicans.
Yeah, exactly.
What we're having.
What we have here is a failure
to communicate.
Oh, cool. Hand
That's
Luke.
Exactly what that is.
I'm not on IMDb, and I've been on Squidbillies 3 times.
Okay, yeah.
You were in that Crosby, Stills, and Nash movie, too.
Well, I think I'm on there for that. Fucking stupid movie.
But yeah, I knew that because I did the vain thing where you Google your name and then IMDb. I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, apparently a YouTube show will get you on.
That's pretty cool.
I got Doug with High once.
Yeah, I think.
Well, I smoked with him.
Yeah.
We both did.
Yeah.
Who else did we smoke with famous? Josh Blue.
Stuttering John.
You guys want to smoke?
Anyway.
Actually, one of the first times I met Jeff actually was at, and saw both of you guys in person, was at the Laughing Skull when Doug was in town, and I was sitting in the crowd, and I think it was maybe you walked back to the green room, and then you came back out, just reeking.
Hey, man.
I was like, who are these guys? And then finally, okay, cool.
Who else? Nikki Glaser.
Who's the most famous? Because Doug likes to do that game. Who's the most famous person you've smoked with?
Oh,
you know?
I'm sure you've got us.
Yeah. I don't know. It's probably all comedy. Like, Doug, I think probably Amy Schumer nowadays.
Yeah, I smoked pot with Amy Schumer, but she was young.
Yeah, I was way before she was famous.
And right.
When I smoked with her, she was like featuring for Jim Norton at the Punchline, you know?
That's.
Yeah.
Shit. Those are the days. God, who's the most famous person that you smoked pot with? When you did smoke pot?
Probably Craig Brewer. Who was the director of Footloose?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty fucking big.
On Paramount Studios, which was really cool.
Was there any stunt casting in that one? I'm sorry, I haven't seen it.
There was, but they didn't use it.
Like, they didn't.
We all did our own stunts.
No, I mean stunt casting, like was like any of the people from the original movie.
Oh no!
Like did Kevin Bacon walk by and go, "Yeah, you're not allowed to dance."
No, there was none of that. But they were gonna have Kevin Bacon play Ren's deadbeat dad.
Oh, okay.
And then Kevin Bacon and Craig were like talked about it. We're like, "Nah, take away from the film."
Yeah.
And so like they both
it would ruin it.
They both decided not to. And then when the trailer came out, there was like it was like that Cats trailer, you know, where they show like a little bit of Cats, and people were like, "I loved it. I'm gonna go see Cats again." Yeah. So like they did the same thing with Footloose, and like this one girl's like, "It was so much better than the original." And then like apparently like right after that aired, Kevin Bacon just started lighting up Craig Brewer's text.
Oh, really?
And being like, "What type of movie promotes itself by saying it's better than the original movie that made it in the first place?"
That's sad.
So, was the soundtrack different? I haven't seen the new Footloose either.
It was a little different.
Yeah, it had Lenny Coggins on it.
Instead of a chicken fight with tractors, we had a chicken fight with like a big giant bus race with crazy school buses.
Where'd they shoot that? Southside?
Like Peachtree City, the big dirt track.
Right.
I got to run away from an exploding bus, which was
that's
cool.
That's pretty cool.
That's probably the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. You could feel the heat.
You know, the casting director, they didn't want to put Kevin Bacon in the original because she said he was unfuckable.
Oh,
really?
Wow.
Yeah. He has a huge dick. I saw Wild Things.
She meant that he was looks-wise. She felt he was unfuckable.
I don't believe that.
Well, apparently a lot of people didn't agree with it.
If I were into dudes, I'd fuck Kevin Bacon. Just to prove her wrong. Jeff, who's the most famous person you smoke pot with?
Yeah, probably Doug Benson.
Come on, you smoke pot with other celebrities.
Not as many as you. I was trying to think what you guys were talking about.
Tough game.
Joe Rogan count?
Yeah,
he's huge, yeah.
And that guy, Ari, that hangs out with him?
Yeah, Ari Shafir.
Yeah,
I think Joe's up there. He could, you know, Fear Factor and UFC. Because he's a bunch of broad spectrum.
News Radio?
Yeah, News Radio.
Yeah. He was great on that show.
Yeah, he was.
He made that drink that turned Matthew smart.
And now he's like a huge like conspiracy theorist, right?
His podcast is pretty good. Yeah. He got Alex Jones all fucked up, and Alex Jones started talking about lizard people. That's great. So how about you, Steph? When you don't smoke pot, but...
No.
I know you don't, but did you ever when you were a kid?
No.
No?
No. Yes. No.
I thought maybe you went into that pawn shop up in Detroit and smoked to that old man.
I did every drug but heroin and coke, I would think.
Okay.
Heroin just because.
You smoked crack?
Crack I didn't because I saw New Jack City when I was 18 and I was like, I don't ever want to be Pookie. I'm never doing that because, yeah, Pookie learned
me
good.
Who's the most famous person you smoked crack with?
Oh, the most famous? Probably you.
No, I'm not famous.
I got triggered by this week's episode of Snowfall because they finally invented the crack on there.
You're finally, so you are watching Snowfall.
I'm not watching that
show. It's good, right?
Yeah.
And it got a season two. So
I'm really, like hesitant to ask these guys, what do you watch on TV? Because you guys are out late every night and you're doing comedy.
Well, we didn't even talk about Game of Thrones last
night. We're going to.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Aren't
much,
we?
Yeah, it's like... Pretty much the only thing I watch is Game of Thrones.
So you guys
Rick and Morty Sunday night.
Oh, Rick and Morty this week was really good.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
So
yet.
You guys have both seen the Game of Thrones last.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you guys think of that episode?
So,
what are your fan theories about what's going to happen?
So this whole season, bro, it's like, what is the span of time that goes on in this show? Because like, apparently everything's like, hey, I'm just going to go next door, and talk to these people.
Uh-huh.
Like in the first couple seasons, it was like, oh, it took 3 years to get through the field to Karth, and then now they can just like get everywhere.
Well, now it's like Europe; they got bullet trains.
Yeah,
it's like
you can fall through the ice, and your uncle can come out of nowhere and save you. You can get on a horse and ride all the way back to the wall.
Well, supposedly on Reddit, they have timelined the shit out of this last one. Like, it would take exactly 4 days for the Ravens to make it back, and that's kind of why they kept Thoros alive for those few days. So that was kind of like help you keep track of time, even though after they cauterized his wound, like why do they keep him alive? So it would take a few days for him to freeze to death. So that gives you the few days for the Ravens, blah, blah, blah. There's like this whole Reddit forum where they track it to the minute.
Okay.
This by far was the dumbest plan of the entire
season.
So
stupid.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Why? Why do you say that?
Well, like going into it, it's like, okay, we're going to go take on an entire Army of the Undead.
And the dude just got done mining dragon glass.
And they didn't use any of them.
No,
they took
no dragon glass.
The guy that looks like he was in the Beach Boys did.
Jorah.
He might have had a little dagger of dragon glass, but the dude just got done mining tons of this shit.
But Beric's got his flaming sword, so there was that.
They also had, like, a blacksmith with them.
Right. Yeah.
They could have made awesome weapons.
Who
with.
Ran all the way back
right.
in 10 minutes and got to the wall.
But I liked all their conversations along the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like, whenever, yeah, like that. Like, well, at the beginning, they're like, how do you stay warm? Well, you have to keep moving. And then they stop.
Yeah.
Every 5 minutes to have conversations.
All right, I'm cold again. It's time to keep moving.
You wanted to suck my dick.
Yeah.
Oh, the Hound and Tormund. Yeah, they really do need to have their own sitcom.
The Hound's going to go see his brother very soon.
Tormund is hilarious.
Yes, he is.
He is hilarious. I loved it whenever he was talking about Brienne, and he was like, you know her? He's like, yeah. And he was, oh, my God. Does she look at you like she wants to tear your liver out?
She wants to cut you open and eat your liver.
So you know her. God, he's such a lunatic.
Doesn't he sell grass, Scott's grass, on TV?
Yeah, he's that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I love that guy. He's a real ginger.
Actually, I ran into him while sneaking into the pool at the Georgian Terrace one time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I don't know why he was in town.
Did he have the beard and the hair and everything?
Yeah, he was filming something else in town. But yeah, he was in the gym at the Georgian Terrace. And I was like, that's the dude.
That's that Reddit guy. I can't remember his name. Yeah, exactly. The wildling leader.
Tim saw Catelyn Stark at the mall one time.
Yeah, I saw her at Lenox Mall. Nice. I asked her if I could take her picture, and she said, no.
So what do you guys think about Bran Stark not only being the Stephen Hawking of Westeros,
mm-hmm.
because space and time are relevant now,
right?
Especially with Three-Eyed Raven stuff, but Bran Stark is the Lord of Light.
I've heard that theory.
I thought he was the Night King.
I've heard that, too. And that he's every brand throughout history from trying to, like, warg back and, like one guy was like, all right, suspend your disbelief with me, YouTubers.
What's that, the guy from Looper?
He was like, what if the Long Night never happened, or at least hasn't happened yet?
Oh.
And it's like Bran going back and, like, warning people and preparing for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it, like, you know, like, it happened instead of being, like, 10,000 years ago or whatever, it's about to happen. So, like, all of these, the warning has become, like,
winter is coming.
Ancient history.
Ah, okay. So the ancient history is really the future.
Right.
As told by Bran. So Max von Sydow was actually Bran as he was older.
That's, like, what this guy's theory is.
All right.
I don't know if I subscribe to it or not, but...
Well, some guy was talking, the same guy, probably, with the accent. What if this guy is the... What is he? The Night King, right?
Mm-hmm.
He looked different this week.
And he's, like, holding his chest when that guy got the dragon glass from the Children of the Forest.
Mm-hmm.
he got the dragon glass in the chest. And Bran, like, wakes up and he's like... And he's like, well, you created the Night King. And then the Children of the Forest were like, we did it to protect us from you. Like, what if they're really talking about him? Like, what if they did it to protect them from Bran Stark?
Oh.
And, like, supposedly, according to the stuff that I've wasted my time on, the Starks and the Targaryens are both magical.
Okay.
So, like, apparently there was supposed to be, like, when the Conqueror, Aegar or Rhaegar or whatever the Conqueror.
Ragnar?
Know, yeah, Ragnar the Conqueror flew in and mm-hmm. burned everything. They were supposed to make a pact with the Starks of a Targaryen princess and a Stark lord where... To be wed.
All right.
Which, like, that stuff with Sam and the Citadel and what's her name?
Gilly?
Gilly.
Tooth girl.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry.
So, like,
well, if that happens now, it'll be incest because they're related.
Well, it's
She's his aunt.
Yeah.
It's always incest with the Targaryens.
Yeah, cool, right.
It's like more, but it's so much more incestuous aunt than normal because they're already, it's like, they're so incest anyway. So she's like five times as aunt than you normally would be because they're so inbred if you really think about it.
Yeah, but they look good for inbreds.
Yeah, for inbreds, I was about to say they're really, really hot. Those Targaryens are hot inbreds.
They've beat the curve, this whole inbred curve thing, I think.
You can't burn them up when you're done with them, though.
So, like, it was supposed you're to be stupid. A Targaryen what? Princess and a Stark Lord. Mm-hmm. And then the whole thing about L plus A plus L equals J, that whole thing.
Right.
The annulment that Gilly was talking about, and then the secret wedding was between Rhaegar and Lyanna.
Right.
Who's Jon Snow's dad, right, and mom. And so, like, they could now fulfill whatever that ancient pact was.
Right.
That was supposed to be fulfilled years ago.
Years ago. It's happening now.
But the zombie bear, we didn't talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
The zombie bear.
Yeah.
That was pretty badass.
Does a bear have blue eyes?
Now, the thing I don't like about the end is that the dragon is now going to be a white dragon or whatever. So is that going to fly to Westeros and freeze everything? I don't know.
I'm assuming he's going to breathe ice.
Right.
That's going to be the whole thing. Like he'll, I assume he'll freeze shit and then you can just like smash it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it'll crack or
well,
whatever.
Now, he'll be twice as big as his brothers. Will they fight him or will they recognize him?
Why? Because of bloating?
I don't know, because the bear got bigger and that was one of the rumors I'd heard that the dragon will get bigger.
Well, he was already the biggest dragon.
Oh, that's true.
I want to know, where did those freaking White Walkers get those chains?
Yeah.
That was a good question.
When I first saw it, I was like, what are we looking at now? And then I was like, wait, where did they get those chains?
They don't talk, so I can't do an impression of them.
Yeah, just.
Yeah, we found them. That's
I loved one of them getting the chill.
Yeah. The hound. When
oh, the
hound.
Well, everything's the hound's fault. Yeah. He's oh, the ice won't break? All right.
I'll just throw another one.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
And well, now Beric's mortal, so that's the end of his little lives. Those are all over. So if he gets killed now, that's it. He doesn't come back anymore.
Well, I mean, same with Jon, unless the Red Priestesses come back.
Well, I don't know how many lives does he have, because, I mean, he should have been dead this time, but he climbed his way up out of that shit. Yeah, and then he should have been hypothermia, you know, riding there.
I mean,
they had to crack
minute.
His jacket off of him and shit.
I just think the Night King is a pussy, right? Like, at one point in time, they're, like, pointing at him, and he's just like, what? I'm just standing here. Like, a stupid, like, crown haircut thing grown into his head.
Uh-huh.
Also, if he was that good at throwing those, like, that javelin thing he threw at the dragon, why not just throw those at the dudes while they're waiting?
Right.
Right.
You could be doing this the whole time.
I knew the dragon was coming.
Yeah, how did he know?
Yeah.
And she's smart.
And Arya and Sansa, that whole side shimmy story and Littlefinger and all that. I mean, it's like, what
I'd like to give Arya a Littlefinger.
She's
18 now, right?
She's 20. She's 20.
Yeah, all right. See?
Radio Labyrinth Man.
You look it up.
These are my faces.
Yeah. I don't care about your face. You got another vagina in there?
Oh, God.
These are my vagina.
Oh, man.
What?
No, that actually would be kind of cool if you could.
What, if you
could
carry
vaginas.
Around a vagina in a bag?
You just carry a bunch of them around.
A bunch of faces and then a flashlight in the bottom of the bag.
Pocket pussy.
Yeah, I think all that does exist now.
It does.
I'll just put on a different vagina for this.
They make
for this
dragon.
Coupling.
They make dragon dildos now for geek chicks.
Oh wow!
Oh, come on.
I went to Furry Week in Atlanta back in May.
Yeah,
yeah, and they were all over the place.
Like, God, they're huge too.
It's intimidating.
Yeah. Like,
I saw on somebody posted on Facebook a from that furry convention. A furry floor routine.
Oh, that was me.
Yeah.
I attended a furry dance off, and it's one of the greatest things I've ever
they
seen.
They let you shoot video.
Yeah.
It's Frolicon where they don't.
Yeah, Frolicon. Yeah, I've been to that too, which is totally different. But yeah, furry. It was like one of the huge ballrooms at the Marriott, and it's basically just a dance competition, but they're in full blown furry outfits. And just, yeah, I just dance like amazing. It's, yeah.
And how? I mean, I would collapse under the heat.
Oh yeah, exactly. I guess yeah.
You what were you doing? Stand up there?
No, I just got an I got an extra pass. My it was like a weekend. Someone offered me. I was gonna go see Ron White, and then someone offered me passes to Furry Week in Atlanta, and I was like, I'm going to this.
You threw, you threw your My Little Brony costume on. And...
Sorry, Ron White. Yeah.
That's okay. I was going to see you, and then I saw a squirrel.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, Ron White's pretty famous.
You know, there's.
I smoked with him. Yeah. I guess
that's a given, though.
The first time I met him, actually, yeah.
Here you go.
I just handed it. I handed it to him, and the second time he handed it to us. Yeah, so they'll pretty much you have a better chance of smoking with Ron White than actually talking to him.
He's yeah. Last summer, I went into work at Mary Todd, the barbershop on Carroll Street in Cabbage Town, and I was checking the voicemail. And this is Ron White. I asked Siri where to get the best haircut in Atlanta, and it said you guys. So if you got time, I'm looking for a haircut. Now, I know Kathy, his manager.
Okay.
And I called her, and I said, did Ron looking for a haircut still? And she goes, I didn't know he was. So eventually, it comes around that he wanted a haircut, so I got him an appointment. And he comes down, and he has this bag with him. He walks in. This place is nice. Reeking of weed, like he had a pound of the best possible weed thing. And I said, well, you had about 40 minutes before your appointment. You can go down and get a drink at the Milltown Tavern. He goes down to the Milltown Tavern, and I go get him when we're ready for him. And well, they weren't lying when they called this a tavern. And it's starting to rain, and there's a thunderstorm. He puts his umbrella. I can't go in there without getting high. And he's out in the alleyway between the two places just smoking this bone. He goes, here. And he hands it to me. I took two hits. I was thinking, it's just a joint. I can take two hits. Uh-uh. Done. <Yeah. laughs> This was long before I worked in radio. Uh-oh. I'm in trouble. Nice. Anyway.
Was that your producer?
No. Nope. Anyway, the roast of Daenerys.
What kind of overhead here? What'd you say? who's listened to a podcast before it gets
Tim's
released?
Tim's old lady's listening live. She makes him stream the audio on his iPhone.
I see that on the air picture right there. So.
Yes.
It's like a Saw type situation.
Saw. The roast of Daenerys Targaryen. You can get tickets at oneupcomedy.com. Let me just recap it again. She is Daenerys Stormborn of House Targaryen, and they are going to roast her. A bunch of comedians, including Joe Pettis, are going to roast Josh Warren, who is playing Daenerys, and let's get another little preview of that.
So I'm also willing to take any type of questions from the media, so if any of you have any questions for me regarding... anything.
Jim Acosta from CNN. Aren't you saying that the Dothraki are some sort of?
Why wouldn't you name the White Walkers?
Hold on, one question. Right. one question at a time. I don't know if I want to go with CNN, but I will anyway.
Fake ravens.
Yeah, they've been sending
fake scrolls.
The amount of, do you want to share well with redheaded people? honestly, because I know I don't.
No.
I don't even want to be close to a redheaded person. I'm sure there's some good ones over there, but I don't want to be around them.
There's a couple that are too bad. All right. You
why,
can get
why
to-
wouldn't you come out against the White Walkers and the rally that they just had up there past the wall?
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, there's some good whites. For instance, Hodor is probably a white by this point in time.
Oh, you think he is? Sorry to break the wall here.
Oh, yeah. He was torn apart. Bran Stark makes people retarded.
So, guys, if you don't go see this, you're missing out on some good comedy. It's not that expensive. It's Saturday, September 2nd at Highland Inn Ballroom. What a selling point. It's not that expensive. But I did preface it with it's good comedy. Doors open at 8. Show is at 9. Tickets are only $7 in advance, $10 at the door. If you're going to Dragon Con, you're going to be down there anyway, and you can get in for $5 if you show them your badge. I mean, your badge.
Oh, wow.
644. Quiet. 640. No, I don't mean it. I would never do that.
Oh, stop.
644 North Highland Avenue Northeast in Atlanta, 30306 for you people who use GPS. We got to find out who, what's the Redbox Troll's new name?
Oh, hi, everybody. It's Caitlyn Jenner. You know, I love listening to Radio Labyrinth. That's where I get all my pop culture news about four or five specific shows. And I like following things down rabbit holes. Holes are wonderful things. I like to run, and I like going into holes. That's the long and short of it. But I'm here to tell you all about the patrons, the Radio Labyrinth patrons at patreon.com. I've signed up. I donate $585 every 10 years. So all I did was go to Patreon, that's patreon.com/Tim Andrews, and I signed up. And my reward is I got to record this commercial. Here's the shout out of the month to Wendy Muller. She's our top producer here at Radio Labyrinth. She donated $30 and she gives it every single month, and she's just darn sweet. We love her here. And everybody else who donates, I mean, it could be 50 cents, it could be a dollar, it could be anything, you know. I got to say thank you to Darren Downey. He's the newest Radio Labyrinth patron. Also, Ryan O'Connor, Dan Carroll, Denise Reynolds, Brian Jackson, Chris Colhard, Zach Pittman, JB, Beth Van Elswick, she's an angel, Lou Caniglio, Mike Hall, David C. Funk, Matt Carter, Jonathan Wilson, Eric Malmstrom, Colin Oman, Amber Gilpatrick, both of my lovely daughters. Actually, they don't donate. I'm going to have to talk to them about that. Keith Tate, Herb Lamb, Jose Perales, Trent, and Dustin Lawler. He's a cutie. So, guys, do your best. You don't have to donate, but it would sure be nice. This is Caitlyn Jenner saying, keep it canon.
The new Redbox Troll. We have a character on the
poll.
Show.
The poll just went up today, so we got to give it a few days.
I don't have a name yet. I don't care. Call me RBT.
So far it was like Pippin von Stinkhole and Reginald von Nubbins, I think, were two of the
I
top.
Like Reginald von Nubbins. I like Aloysius as well. I like all of them. I don't give a fuck.
Are you doing any?
I'm going to do the previews of what's in Redbox this week. Then we're going to wrap up the show, eh? We're going to do our staff picks. What they do, I'm going to leave. This week at your Redbox, don't look at me. I'm not coming over here. Do you like cars? How about The Rock? Are you a fan of Vin Diesel and that bitchy Mexican lady from Lost? Well, you're in luck, because all of them are in this stupid movie about cars that go really fast, and the people driving them think it make them look really cool. I think it's what, like the 26th sequel? This film should have been called Your Dick's on Fire, because that's what it felt like for me, holding a piss in so I wouldn't miss any of the plot. Rated PG-13, because nobody over 13 should ever watch it. The Fate of the Furious. The Wall. Actor Matt Damon plays an American-Chinese Nazi who travels back in time to teach the ancient Chinese Empire how to jam Pink Floyd with the Chinese buddies. Confused and unable to understand him, they attack him so badly and beat him that he has to go back in time again. And he tries the same shit with ancient Sumerians. It's a story of love, loss, and unparalleled mimicry. Watch out for cameos from Alice Cooper, Jackie Chan, and Andrew Dice Clay. The Wall. Rate it R.
I hope Andrew Dice Clay is in that movie.
Finally. He is. Trust me. Finally. Skull Island. What do you get when you mix hundreds of Vietnam movie cliches, a generic classic rock soundtrack, and a terrible CGI gorilla? A big heaping pile of shit. That's what you get. If you have a choice between renting Kong Skull Island from Redbox or having your genitals mutilated by a three-tooth hag with open sores on her lips, choose the latter. Also starring Walter Sobchak and Dr. Steve Brule, rated G for G, this movie sucks.
You're supposed to, like, be pushing these movies? Like, they're supposed to...
I am. I'm holding on to them while I'm telling you about them.
Kong Skull Island was good. You had to see it in the theater, though.
I didn't like it. No, well, maybe you saw it in the theater. I saw it in a little Redbox.
Yeah. Under your little 4-inch screen inside the red box there.
Size doesn't matter.
I don't know what they do. I mean, because, like, our American Redbox troll, he actually, like, tried to get people to
He's a fucking asshole. That's how he got himself shot.
He died, you know.
We had a different one, right? And I replaced him. But before that, he thought, oh, I'll fill in for one of the buddies down on south side of Atlanta, southwest Atlanta. And he's a dumbass because he got shot at a Kroger in a drive-by. He's a dummy.
I thought that was somebody trying to rob the red box and they shot him.
No, if they come and rob the red box, we just let them take everything. Who gives a shit? I mean, you can print them up on your computer at home.
Your floor food, though.
There's some good floor food this week. Somebody dropped a thing of asparagus. It's good.
Is it really?
Makes your pee smell nice. And you come.
Oh,
what?
God.
All right. I'm going to leave now. Goodbye.
Cheerio.
You guys are nice. I'm going to watch whatever your shows are. The DVDs come in. I'll watch them. Is what's the name of that show? Is Daytime Fighting League on Blu-ray yet?
I doubt it.
Well, let me know.
Yeah, you don't get Wi-Fi inside of the
He's
red box?
Man. No. You guys have staff picks this week?
I'm a delightful troll.
The other one was far worse and it killed my throat. We'll do some staff picks. Jeff?
Yeah, mine is Disjointed. Starts August 25th on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's Kathy Bates plays a owner of a marijuana dispensary.
So it's weeds?
Yeah.
With the chick isn't hot?
I think it looks pretty good.
Okay. Who else is in it?
I don't know who any of the other casts are.
Her name is Ruth Whitefeather Feldman, so right. she's a Jewish Indian.
She's supposed to be a legend in the pot industry.
Okay.
Chris Redd's in it. That'd
be good.
Yeah.
I want to be a bud tender.
That'd be awesome.
Stephanie?
Oh, me. Okay. Oh, mine is actually something that hasn't came out yet. I've been waiting on this movie for like a month and a half. I don't know where the hell it's going to be playing, but it comes out August 25th. It's called Ghost House, and it's a horror movie. It's about this couple. They go to Thailand, and they get tricked into taking this little artifact that they shouldn't take, I guess because these guys are trying to put this curse on her and get it off of them. And the trailer, it looks creepy as shit. I've been dying to see this movie. But anyway, it's called Ghost House.
Okay.
Like I said, it's hard. I don't know where it's going to be playing at. I'm trying to find it. And the other one is the WTF podcast this week. Well, yesterday's anyway, with Marc Maron. He played his Jerry Lewis interview that he did last year. And I don't think he really played it before because it was Jerry just 30 minutes in just said, we're done.
Yeah, he played it
he
once
did play
before,
it.
Yeah.
Oh, he was talking about it yesterday, like he didn't really pimp it out too much or whatever.
Why did he was just tired?
He was. And well, Mark said that he begged his publicist, don't let him do any interviews before I interview him, because he said, I've interviewed old people before and they get very tired quickly. And he said, sure shit, I get there. And he had already done an hour and a half with USA Today. So then I get him and he's whatever. But the interview, the 30 minutes that he did get with him are really good. And he's very funny. And I love the part about Bing Crosby. Oh my God. And he's talking about how he was in a dressing room beside of him, and how Bing Crosby was such a douchebag, and how he had five sons, and all of his sons thought he was a schmuck, and just he was a piece of shit, basically. And that
I like to beat him. That's why they didn't like me very much.
Right?
But I joked and choked out my wife and beat up my kids.
He said Bing Crosby was afraid of him because he was afraid he was going to take his toupee off of him.
A white country, just like the one I used to know.
What was that last thing? I'm sorry, I was.
This doesn't matter.
No, it does matter because it was interesting. What was the very last thing?
Oh, just that he was afraid to be on stage with Jerry because they did some shit together, because he was always afraid that Jerry was going to take his toupee off of him and humiliate him in front of everybody.
But everybody thinks I got hair. Must be they never saw White Christmas, where I played a priest and didn't have no hair. Boy, that Bob Hope is a funny man.
He did say Bob Hope was awesome.
That's also like Bing Crosby. Isn't that the same voice as Taz's dad from the old show Tasmania?
Could be.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I don't know. I never. Blah,
blah, you put the Animaniacs one in on there? Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right. Ira's staff pick this week is SOS How to Survive on the Weather Channel. Fuck that. No, I'm kidding.
No. We got to plug it at least. His wife works on
I didn't see that part before I said fuck that. So I take it back and I'm sorry. His wife is one of the editors on the show, but Ira has been watching it prior to the show and loves it. So listen, check it out. SOS.
Weather Channel.
How to Survive on the Weather Channel. I was being aggressive, and I'm sorry.
You were. Yay, Nancy, because Nancy's great. She
I know. I didn't
killer
know.
White chicken chili.
I didn't know. I just think of that guy, that muscular guy, does all the shows on there. What's his name? He lives in Atlanta, the weatherman. Jim Cantore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah! Fucking weather! Thunder snow! You know what I mean? He fights hurricanes.
Rage roids. Yeah. Roid rages against the machine or the storms.
Did you get to see the eclipse at all, Tim?
I did.
You go outside during the...
I did. And I put on my glasses.
You had eclipse glasses?
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not like the president who stared at it.
looked right at it.
Wow, look at it.
It's raw.
The security guard here was real excited about it.
Was she?
Oh, he. Yeah, it was yeah. He was telling us all about his
he was like, they actually let us go on the roof.
He was excited about it.
I told you guys too?
Yeah.
It was cool. The whole building just emptied out. It was great.
Yeah.
My staff pick this week is a movie that came out, I guess, earlier this year or late last year that I just watched. It's called The Founder on Netflix. It's more interesting to me than it was a well-crafted film, I can tell you that. I mean, it was okay as far as that goes, but Michael Keaton, strong performance. Nick Offerman, really good. John Carroll Lynch, really good as well. And those two played the McDonald brothers. In fact, I think Nick Offerman pretty much stole the film with his character. I mean, it's Nick Offerman.
I mean,
but,
what can you do?
But if you're interested in how McDonald's got founded, and I'd always thought that Ray Kroc stole it from him, but they were kind of not really very business savvy and not interested in making money.
Yeah.
And he was. And the way he made McDonald's his own, which I never knew, was to buy all the land, build the building, and then lease it to the franchisees, which is why McDonald's is one of the biggest landowners in the world, which I didn't know. So
you
can learn a lot of shit from that. But again, Michael Keaton, you can't go wrong, really.
God, he was so good as Vulture in Spider-Man.
I haven't seen that yet.
So like, is he like this McDonald's dude kind of like Jack Kirby and Stan Lee? Where like Stan Lee is like, Jack Kirby created everything. I mean, I created everything.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the two McDonald's brothers really created the entire
they did the whole franchise
operation of how McDonald's works and everything, and he just came in and stole everything.
Yeah.
Stan Lee'd them.
Yep. Yeah. So check that out if you haven't seen it and you're interested in McDonald's. I
we
still
should talk a little about Burger Box. Did you?
Oh, yeah. I don't have any of the copy here, but
Did you eat your Burger Box?
I did eat my Burger Box. I ate my, first of all, do you guys watch anything that you want to promote that you like? Staff pick? It could be anything, movie, TV, whatever.
I just started Defenders on Netflix. Yeah.
Okay, I watched the first episode.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
I watched the first two episodes, and I didn't ever watch Iron Fist. Got turned off before even because of all the reviews. But all the previous, like Jessica Jones, Daredevil, all those were so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like what the Marvel Universe is doing, or the Marvel Cinematic Universe is doing.
Right.
So it's a lot. Yeah, so I say just for fun, just watch Defenders.
Cool.
I'm really excited about the Punisher series coming out.
Oh, yeah.
When's that coming out?
I think October.
Really?
But I've been a huge fan of Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we
that
love that show.
That show is amazing.
Yeah. The Slackjaw Punk podcast, they have Bruce Campbell on there. Yes, today they just posted their interview with him today. So, and it's really good. So
I'm already jealous. I named my dog Ash after Bruce Campbell. So.
Well, I haven't got to listen to all of it, but they did the little, because I was listening to it on the way here, but they said, we're about to tell you something about season 3 that's going to get you so fucking jacked. So just to let you know, Slackjaw Punk podcast, there's some big thing about season 3.
It's supposed to be like canon story, like going back to the original.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
back to the cabin?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, they kind of did that in the last season, too.
There's something about this season being totally canon and hearkening back to the first movie and all kinds of, and the second movie.
All right. I'm down with that.
Yeah. Right on.
Yeah, I've been loving it. We all watch it.
It's great.
I also like that show with the guy from Scrubs. It's sort of like that.
What Stan versus Evil.
Stan versus Evil. Yeah. I enjoyed that. That was shot here.
I didn't know that was shot here.
Yep.
Yeah. Had that little thing on the end of it. Like they shot the Unabomber TV show here as well. You could have been in that. I'm sure there was
God,
a stoner.
I gotta talk
in the 90s.
To my agent.
Yeah. Well, they start filming.
Where
Venom.
Are you, People Store?
They start filming Venom here next month. You got to get in that. Get in that.
God.
Venom. All right. Burger Box Burger of the Month. This month it was the Scarface Burger. I loved it. It was the burger. It was the Angus beef. Then you had, some chorizo, you had ham, you had, what is that, the mojo pork?
Yeah, oh my God.
It was delicious.
It was.
I ate the whole thing and then sat around for about 3 hours.
I thought I was going to die. I think I texted you guys. I said, would you come and chain me to my shower and then chainsaw the shit out of my stomach? Because
yeah.
I've killed myself.
Well, not
what is this?
It's a company called Burger Box, B-U-R-G-A, and it's box, burgerbox.com. And they have a bunch of different burgers. on their website. It's like Blue Apron or one of those.
It's like a subscription.
Yeah, you, just I got a burgers. Subscription to hamburgers. And they're delicious, and you make them yourself, and they give you the easy instructions. You also get French fries and macaroni and cheese. Oh, did you God. Like it, Jeff?
Yeah, I couldn't. I couldn't. Like, I made the whole thing, and I couldn't eat it like the way I was supposed to eat it.
Yeah.
Like, I ended up just eating basically the burger, and then the sausage I had separately. And the burger had the cheese and the whatever.
That's
the,
what it looks like when you're done.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And the pork on it and
the
stuff.
The mojo pulled pork
was
yummy.
Yeah, the mojo pulled pork and
now the macaroni and cheese was
pizza mac and cheese
and pepperoni.
It was awesome. Yeah. And then the French fries, they came with these barbecued caramelized onions that you sprinkle on top, and then cheddar cheese, and then Thousand Island dressing that you dip the fucking French fries. I mean, it's insane. Then they also give you baked beans and coleslaw in this thing. So like, you open up the box and there's like 75 jars of shit in there, just like all these components of stuff, and you're like, holy crap.
Now, we promote the Burger Box Burger of the Month right here on Radio Labyrinth. All Burger Box of the Burger Box Burger of the Month boxes will ship the Tuesday after the 10th of each month. So there's got to be a new one on there right now. You can go check it out. Go to burgerbox.com/labyrinth and sign up. Jeff.
And we had a couple more reviews. I guess we'll read them next week. But
yeah, we will. We'll definitely read them next week. And also, anybody that left a review in the past is eligible to win. I got to throw that in
so
there.
So we got like 4 or 5 reviews now, right? They're just sitting in the hopper?
Yeah, go to iTunes and leave us a review. Or, I mean, in if you've already left us one in the past over the entire time, we'll go back and your name will go in the hat as well. But if you are a Radio Labyrinth patron, that's patreon.com/Tim Andrews. If you're there, you're entered to win as well. So that's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Do you know what the next Burger Box Burger of the Month
is? No, they released it on the first of the month. So.
Oh, okay. It's not September.
Well, they sent me an email stating, thank you for your purchase of 6 months. So
right. Well, I think they just put us on the whatever the biggest.
So they believe in us enough. They're sending us 6 months of this stuff.
Hopefully,
right?
You can go right now and get a $45 trial box. That's an exclusive offer through the Labyrinth page, burgerbox.com. Labyrinth. Normally it's $65. You can choose from the Mac Attack or the Hot Mess right now. So go there, sign up, try out a burger from Burger Box, gorge on it, and you'll love us for it.
Mac Attack and Hot Mess are the names I call my last two girlfriends.
And Scarface? And what was the other one?
It was Hot Mess.
Hot Mess. Scarface is mine.
Scarface
could be next.
My ex-girlfriend.
Thank you guys very much. Atlanta Comics and Actors, Joe Pettis and Josh Warren. Go ahead and plug anything you'd like to plug.
After you, sir.
I'm still thinking about Mac Attack.
I'm going to plug the Village Theater. If you go to www.villagecomedy.com, as well as www.atlantaimprovleague.com, you can find all the information on the improv and classes and stuff like that we do at the Village Theater. The last 2 weeks of September and the first 2 weeks of October, we're doing a week-long run, so eight sketch shows over 4 weeks. The name of the sketch show was just text to me.
You're getting this live.
Yeah, yes, it's hot.
And it is called Keep Calm and Die Anyway.
Keep Calm and Die Anyway.
And, that's going to be on a t-shirt one day.
Yeah, it's directed by Mr. Ryan Archibald of Second City and Improv Olympic fame.
All right.
And so that'll be last 2 weeks of September, first 2 weeks of October.
Cool.
Yeah. And I do a show at the Village Theater, the Underwear Comedy Party, which is the last Friday of the month. And I do shows all over town, like places like Sweetwater Brewery, Joystick Game Bar. We have the roast coming up. But in November, the first weekend of November, the 2nd through the 4th, we're doing a festival, Resurgence Fest, where I'm putting together anywhere between 60 and 80 of Atlanta's best improv and stand-up comics to do about 12 to 13 shows. And all the proceeds are going towards the Women's Resource Center to end domestic violence.
Make sure that make sure you get back in touch with us about that so we can plug it again as we get closer.
Yeah, so yeah, if you go to resurgencefest.com, Resurgence, of course, is the motto of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we did the Hot Atlanta Comedy Festival and a lot of people gave us shit for
using Hotlanta.
So this so we rebranded ourselves, and it's a whole different festival and a whole different concept.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of different improv groups we're sending over as well.
Yeah, so I'll all be Village Theater improv groups, and then around, like I said, 50 to 60 probably stand-up comics.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
if
great.
You get a chance, like at Action Show 1.
Yeah.
At Action Show 1.
Yeah, the beer and comedy night, if you've never been to the Sweetwater, that is a great, that's a fun night. And then how much is it, Joe? And then you get to tour the thing, and you get beer, and the whole thing.
It's weird. Everything's changing because of the brewery laws that are going in September. Currently you basically pay admission, you get some beers, and you get a comedy show. We've had Ron White drop in twice this year.
Hi.
we've been doing it for 6 years now. We just hit 6 years in April, and it's like our flagship show, and it's a lot of fun. We do that every other Monday. We'll be back August something. I don't know, 26, 24, I don't know.
I don't know.
It's not this upcoming Monday, it's the following.
Okay.
Not today.
Good.
Yeah, no. I should be. Yeah.
Steph, you got anything you'd like to?
The animal shelter. If you guys are looking for a dog or cat this month at Gwinnett County Animal Shelter, the dogs are $30, and that's their microchip, their spay and neuter, and the rabies shot. And cats
spay
are only
and neuter for $30. Wow.
Yeah, man. And then the cats are only $10, and you know they're flying off the shelf there or whatever.
The cats are.
Cats are. Yeah,
why do you think cats are only worth 1/3 of a dog? Like,
well, I think it's just because.
and why do
they require a third less love?
Because cats really don't need you.
Exactly,
they just don't need you. But I will say the dog that I adopted last week, she is so kick-ass. She is already housebroken. She's sweet as she can be. I adopted her because I was going to try and adopt her out to somebody else. I may end up keeping this fucking dog, but God, please help me. She's like a little, like a pity whippet something. I don't know.
Pity whippet.
Yeah,
pity whippet.
Yeah, she's like 29 pounds.
I know whippets.
I'll show you a picture of her, but she's
hey, baby,
she's
you give
stunning.
Me a pity
she's
whippet.
Stunning. I love
yeah,
this
actually,
dog.
I like to plug whippets. It's nitrous oxide. You can get it at your local dentist.
Go to a dead show.
Yeah, sometimes smoke shops have these little cartridges you can buy. I don't know if that's what you're talking about. Or you can go to Kroger and just get Ready Whip.
Yeah.
If you really want to do it on the cheap, you can just break into like an air conditioning.
Well, that's free.
Hey, I'm dead.
I was looking for my cracker like a couple of years ago. I'm like, what the hell did I do with that? I don't know where it went. I must have lost it when I moved apartments or something.
It must have lost it when I grew up.
I lost it when I turned 30. All right, guys, thank you very much for coming in this week. Good luck with everything. Stay on top of us, and we know what I mean.
And have a cookie. I made some cookies if you guys want.
Stay behind me.
You could be a bottom. I don't care. Seriously, though, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. This has been so much fun.
Yeah.
And you guys out there, go check everybody out. Until next week, keep it canon.
Two Faces Radio.